Our last paper quiz session is Rebecca Boast of the University of Liverpool with a paper called Voices of the Referendum. And Rebecca is currently an MRes student at the University of Liverpool studying with the Institute of Irish Studies. Her research is focused on stigma and shame within the abortion debate in Ireland, with a particular focus on the 8th referendum. The research will be continued at PhD level beginning this month, actually, and will introduce a comparative analysis with Malta.
Thank you for that. Good morning, everyone. I'm Rebecca Boast, and as Ida said, I'm currently finishing my Masters of Research with the Institute of Irish Studies at the University of Liverpool. This is going to be quite general and quite short in comparison to the very brilliantly put together former presentation, so hopefully it's not terrible. Today I'll be assessing the gender bias within the Irish Constitution of 1937 and the various amendments to which it was subject and the role this has played in constricting the voice of the Irish female citizen with reference to Article 40.3.3, otherwise known as the 8th Amendment, which was added to the Constitution in 1983 after 3 years of strong campaigning and a referendum vote. This paper argues that the 8th Amendment was a compounding factor in the constitutional erasure of the Irish female voice and explores the Repeal the 8th campaign as a platform through which the Irish female has regained her voice and made herself heard. There is an evident gendered bias within the Irish Constitution, and this has undergone scrutiny in the 81 years it's been published and the 70 years since the inception of the Irish Free State. This is evidenced in Articles 40 to 44 of the Constitution, under fundamental rights, which detail the rights of the family, pledge state protection for the sanctity of marriage, and recognises the place of the Irish female in the home. The place of the Irish female in society, as written in the Constitution under Article 41.2.1, was traditionally in the domestic sphere. This currently remains part of the Constitution, however, since Taoiseach Leo Varadkar voiced his concerns in 2014 over the outdated aspects of the Constitution, including that of the 8th Amendment, these articles may soon be subject to change by a referendum. Article 41.2.1 is an example of only one of the two times that the word female features in our Constitution. However, the word mother is featured no less than six times throughout. Already the place of the Irish female is clearly delineated, at least on a constitutional basis, as that of a mother, caregiver and homemaker. The failure of the Constitution to engage with the complexity of the lives of the Irish female citizens automatically placed the Irish female at social disadvantage when seeking to engage with her civic rights. It can be argued that this was exacerbated by the addition of Article 40.3.3 to the Constitution in 1983. The additional amendment reads as follows. The state acknowledges the right to life of the unborn and with due regard to the equal life of the mother, guarantees in its laws to respect and as far as practical by its laws to defend and vindicate that right. Here again we see the absence of the Irish female as anything other than a mother and the absence of the words woman or female altogether. This renders the Irish woman as equal to or in many cases as subordinate to the unborn. While the word man or male is not used to replace or substitute this, the constant referral to Irish woman in the home and in domestic situations as a mother clearly place Irish woman in those roles and perpetuate the idea of men and Irish men in particular at society's helm. Voter turnout and referenda concerning the right to life and abortion access have higher voter turnout rates when compared to other constitutional matters. For example, the referendum vote on the European Union in June 1992 saw 57.31% of the Irish electorate turn out to cast their vote, whereas a referendum held in the same year concerning the 12th, 13th and 14th Amendment and the rejected 11th Amendment regarding the right to information, travel and the right to life saw voters turn out in 68.6%, 68.16% and 68.13% respectively. By placing this label of mother upon a pregnant woman, this removes her ability to engage with her own bodily autonomy on a social and healthcare basis. This use of rhetoric within our constitution places the pregnant woman as subordinate to the fetus, as already mentioned, and where fetal rights are constitutionalised, pregnant women remain vulnerable to legally sanctioned interventions that would force them into invasive medical procedures to treat the fetus to further the chances of a successful pregnancy. This characterisation of women as mothers and not citizens embodies Irish femininity as that which is deemed successful by experience in motherhood and childbearing. The announcement of a forthcoming referendum to decide the fate of the Eighth Amendment brought the divisive abortion debate back to the forefront of political and social conversation in Ireland. The two main bodies of opinion within the debate produced from the pro-life side, the Save the Eighth campaign, and from the pro-choice side, the Repeal the Eighth campaign. While both sides offered complex and diametrically opposed opinions, they both enabled women from diverse backgrounds with diverse opinions to make themselves heard and voice their opinions. Both cohorts held rallies, engaged with TDs, lobbied political parties, and used social media to gain support in the run-up to the referendum. On May 25th of this year, 66.4% of the Irish electorate voted to repeal the Eighth Amendment, with 39 constituencies, with the exception of Donegal, voting to repeal. The overwhelming voter turnout and the landslide vote for repeal shows how highly engaged the public were with the issue and how vastly the once strictly conservative political and social landscape of Ireland has changed in the 35 years since the amendment was enacted. After the referendum, the Taoiseach spoke of a quiet revolution that had taken place in Ireland. However, there are grounds to disagree with this and reframe the Taoiseach's view that the so-called quiet revolution was the roar of female empowerment that had previously been muted by a Conservative Parliament heavily influenced by the Catholic Church. In September 2018, President Michael D. Higgins signed the 36th Amendment, which permitted the Dáil to legislate for abortion access in Ireland up to 12 weeks, which is very interesting when you look at the Citizens' Assembly vote, which voted overwhelmingly for unlimited access in certain situations and access up to 22 weeks in case of fatal abnormality. The result of this referendum, in my opinion, is less about what side of the debate won or lost and is more focused on the positive step towards inclusive politics in Ireland and setting an example for global inclusion, where Irish women and all women are not only heard but listened to. And today, given the turbulence of global international politics and the appearance of female-driven movements toward positive inclusion and the recognition of women's issues in society, the repealing of the Eighth Amendment may hopefully be the first of many steps towards a period of true equality of the sexes in Ireland. Thank you for your time.